when a team is 7-8 with a, you know, a deemed healthy Tom Brady taking every snap, it raises a lot of questions, Steve. And I'm about to raise one more. It's a tin of Italian cookies, you know, expensive cookies, stuffed artichokes.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, post-Christmas edition, week 17 edition. All the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. And this is a huge, huge week at Bill Curry Ford. All the end of the year specials are flying. There are so many. $1,000 Amazon gift card that they're handing out for new vehicles. The Ira Kaufman discount is in full force. All those 2022 vehicles have to get off the lot. Your trade-in is worth more than it ever is because next year the price goes down. It's a year older. Get over to BillCurryFord.com and start shopping, or call or talk to him at the dealership a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Sean Sullivan, the GM, he's the one who hands out the Ira Kaufman discount. But more important, he wants to talk to you personally so he can help you in whatever your process is. And maybe it's body work, maybe it's a used vehicle, whatever it might be. Maybe you're just planning for a few months down the road. Sean will help you personally. He's a great guy. BillCurryFord.com, family owned for 62 years right there in Tampa. And Sage, you know how it goes, Ira. This is the time of year for holiday parties, New Year's parties, Big Storm beer, Big Storm spirits. Big Storm is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Tap rooms are open for you to stock up in Odessa off State Road 54, in Clearwater on 49th Street just south of Ulmerton, Amway Center in Orlando, Cape Coral. Big Storm beer. Ira, are you going to bring some Sunny Key Lime beer, maybe something a little harder, like a Bromosa, to your holiday party? What's the plan?
Steve, that's an excellent idea. I think I will pick up a little Kolsch, perhaps, a little Bromosa, and we are going to somebody's house Saturday night. And when we arrive, and I think my wife's making lasagna, you know, they'll say ho hum on the lasagna, but give us the Big Storm. I said it before, Steve, Big Storm is going to take over the craft beer industry in the state of Florida. And Steve, I might not be giving them enough credit. It might be the whole southeastern United States, and it won't take that long.
This time of year, Ira, Dunder and Blixum, their spiced ale is fantastic if you're picking them out. It's a seasonal. And of course, there's always the original, the Wavemaker Amber Ale. So many beers. You can see them all at BigStormBrewery.com. And of course, you can order their Big Storm Spirits. Check that out. There's a link at JoeBucksFan.com. Sage, I don't know. I'm trying to tell myself I'm fired up. This game was so ugly on Sunday night. But we're here with Lee DeKemper, of course. But Ira, like I like to do, I want to clear the floor, clear the stage, and get your thoughts on this Sunday night, Christmas night game. Now that you've had a day to think about it, what do we need to know?
I'm sitting here, and I got my brother, Barry, from California. He's sitting right here next to me. And Steve, for our listeners from from Temple Terrace to Vatican City, wondering why I grew up as a fan of the San Francisco Giants, Philly 76ers, Kansas City Chiefs. The reason is sitting right next to me. My four years older than me brother, little sibling rivalry on the streets of Brooklyn. And we grew up in the 60s, Steve. So who does he like for some reason? The Oakland Raiders of the AFL, the Boston Celtics with Bill Russell, the Dodgers with Sandy Koufax, Maury Wills, and I'm telling you, inadvertently, I didn't even know I was doing it. I sort of adopted the rival teams. And that's what I did, Steve. And for most of the 60s, his teams kicked my team's ass. So there you go. Steve, one more quick one. He survived Wednesday night in Minneapolis Airport. They kicked everybody off the plane. 1,000 people sleeping in the terminal. And he was one of them. Now, Steve, as a lead into this crazy game, I said to my brother the other day, hey, did you watch the Bucs game Sunday night? Did you watch it? Ira, I fell asleep at halftime. And I never turned it back on because that game, quote, was awful, unquote. And so he went to sleep. He was exhausted. Steve, I wasn't exhausted, and I almost fell asleep. we got a lot to talk about, and I guess we'll do another podcast later. We'll focus on the Carolina game. Steve, that was a terrible, terrible football game. No juice at all. And a terrible Arizona team, and of course the Bucs played down to the level. Again, third string quarterback. Steve, this defense is playing their ass off. What more do you want from them? They've had two bad games, Chiefs and 49ers. The other 13 games, I got no problem with this defense. But Steve, I'm not sure what kind of faith I have. We'll see what you got to say. It's one game, basically, Steve. Winner take all. I'm going to be there, and I got to tell you, my faith in this organization and this franchise is hanging by the proverbial thread. That's my opening salvo.
Well, a win's a win. You always got to be happy about that. But, you know, I was a step away from losing faith. I've already lost faith. I predicted the Bucs would be 1-3 to end the season. This was the game I thought they might win. And we saw how awful they were, how absolutely awful they were. I mean, the Cardinals are, they got it packed in. They're a garbage team. The only guy that was busting his tail, really, was McSorley. There again, the hex of the backup quarterback, a third-string quarterback. You know, that defense of the Cardinals is terrible. The Bucs couldn't do anything against it. And you heard Chris Collinsworth, I don't know how many times, why doesn't Todd Bowles open up this offense? And if my last name is Glazer, I got to have a talk with Bowles. I'm like, why are you not doing this? I'm paying you money to coach. You're not coaching. What are you doing? It's just sad, man, to see all this talent go to waste. And the proof is in the pudding. When they run a hurry-up offense, when they run a play-action offense, they move the ball. They don't move the ball when they're trying to be a power running team because they're not built to power run. They're built to throw the ball downfield. It's beyond my comprehension why this is going on. It's almost as if this is intentional. I'm at a loss for words. I really am. You know, Steve and I, we've been banging on the keyboard for months now. Not weeks, months. But what's going on with this offense, and I don't think I have any more words to in my system to describe what a mess this is. And it's just sad, man.
Hey, Ira, Tom Brady didn't play too well.
No, he didn't.
What's your thought there? This is 2 weeks in a row. Missed some key throws. Lee referenced Collinsworth. Collinsworth had that line where he said, this is like LeBron James missing a layup. It was a throw to Russell Gage, just a short third down throw that was a little behind Gage. And, you know, he just doesn't look that good. What's your sense of the state of Brady, where he factors in on all this? And you can't blame the running game this week. The Bucs ran the ball well.
I see some people in the wake of Sunday's drab effort trying to suggest that Brady's he's hurt. His shoulder hasn't been the same since he took a certain hit, maybe in the Chiefs game or something. I don't think I'm buying it, Steve. I don't think I'm buying it. He's throwing short and quick because he doesn't want to get hit, and he doesn't have a lot of faith in the guys up front. Lee mentioned something very important. Arizona's defense is terrible. Arguably, the worst in the National Football League. And we saw what happened for the first 50 minutes of the game. The Bucs went absolutely nowhere. And by the way, Lee, just a quick one. I'm not sure if it's the hurry-up offense and the no-huddle or the defenses that they're facing are changing once they're trying to protect the lead. Yeah, that's fair. You got to remember that. Now, Steve, a couple other things. Carolina's defense is pretty good. It's much better than Arizona's. Brian Burns is a force. He's a force. And I'm worried about the tackles, not only about the left tackle. Now they don't have Josh Wells, even. We don't know if Smith's coming back. Steve, I watch Tristan Wirfs like I love to watch Tristan Wirfs. Lee, he didn't look good.
No, he gutted it out.
He didn't look up to his standard. He's hurt. There's no way Tristan Wirfs is 90%. I don't think he's 80%. But they need him. I looked at him. He got beat around the inside. He looked slow. That's not Tristan Wirfs. So I'm concerned about that. Steve, can this team score, you know, and get up on Carolina if they don't get help with short fields and some takeaways? I don't know. I don't know if they can. And Steve, one more, and I'll lead it into you. There can be no doubt that there is an issue, and I think maybe a big one, with Mike Evans. I think Mike Evans is disgusted at this point.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot, Lee, to get to that point for Mike Evans. He is a consummate team player. His body language stinks. It stinks in the game. It stinks on the sideline. It stinks in the locker room. I just saw a film of Bowles' post-game speech. Evans looked a little distracted, almost disinterested, while his coach is whooping it up, you know, with the other guys. Something's going on with Mike Evans. There's no connection with Brady. What's the number up to now, Steve, in consecutive games? 11, something like that?
Yep.
That's unheard of, Steve. 26 touchdown catches the previous 2 years. I mean, this is a big, big problem, Steve, going forward.
I don't have any answers for it, Ira. What the bigger question I have, and as it relates to this offense, which is just maddening, we all know it, they opened the game with a deep shot. If you remember, first play was a deep shot to Julio Jones. 30 yards, he gets the penalty. All right, I'm sitting here on my couch thinking, that's Ira. That's Ira's play. That's it. Take the shot, get the flag, some good things happen. Okay, they open up 30 yards, penalty, into Arizona territory. That's the last deep shot to Julio Jones of the day. What, was he tired? I mean, where are the deep shots? I don't understand. It worked right out of the gate, and then they just put it away. I mean, yes, he underthrew Scotty Miller on a deep shot, but, you know, Scotty Miller, you know, this has been happening all year. Brady's timing seems off with him. I don't know. I don't know why these guys go in the closet after they have success. Mike Evans, nobody can really explain it. I just don't get it, Ira. You know, he does look frustrated, but I don't know. He sort of always has a frustrated vibe throughout his career. When, you know, he's just sort of a grumpy, angry kind of player. Maybe that's my perception. I don't know what you guys think.
Evans is always like that. You know, I'm a big fan of Evans, so this is not to be construed as I'm anti-Evans or anything. I just think that the Bucs have changed the offense. It's not conducive to their talent. They were built to throw no biscuit offense. That's not what they're doing. Even Cutter's offense was down the field throwing. I think we could say even Lovey. And with Marcus Arroyo, they were always talking about the Dunkineers and throw deep. So even back when Lovey was here, they were doing that. They're not doing it anymore. And it's not conducive to the talent that the offense was built for. And we're seeing why this Mustang is running like a Yugo. They put a Yugo engine in a Mustang. And the thing about Brady, everybody, oh, Brady's washed up. Why don't you give Brady crap? Brady's horrible. He missed 3 passes out of his last 21 attempts. Brady's not washed up.
When a team is 7-8 with a deemed healthy Tom Brady taking every snap, it raises a lot of questions, Steve. And I'm about to raise one more. And you guys listen to everything that Bowles says at that podium, just like I do. And guys, correct me on this one. Correct me. But in the last month or so, when Bowles is asked direct questions, and a lot of times it's about Rashad White, Bowles on more than one occasion basically is saying, I thought he would run the ball more. I thought we would use him more. Am I reading too much into some of these lines from Bowles? It seems like a little bit of a disconnect with Bowles and Leftwich. Steve, am I off base?
I don't think you're off base, Ira, but I don't know. Bowles is just kind of cryptic. I'll give you something he said yesterday, and you try to figure this out. He's on Sirius XM NFL radio. Pat Kerwin says to him, hey, coach, I love the way your team looks in no huddle. I think it really suits them. And they're able to, you know, catch up to Brady's tempo and his calling in there and all that stuff. And Bowles replies just like this, Ira. Quote, I do too. It seems like it's the only thing that's working right now. I know we can't make a living at it, but we'll try and do some things that incorporate certain things like that. And we'll keep working on no huddle and try to make it a full, complete offense. What does that mean? Are they now trying to figure out how to do so much more no huddle that they're going to turn it into, you know, what the Bills used to do in the 90s and or just other teams that do it more often? I don't know what he's talking about.
Lee, the word that comes to mind is disconnect. And Lee, you were suggesting a couple of weeks ago, and I'm not sure you're wrong, that Bowles has his hand too much in the offense in terms of the direction. And Lee, now it's sounding a little bit, if Bowles is to be taken at face value, that he doesn't have enough input in this offense and Leftwich doesn't know what the head coach wants him to do. I mean, which way should we have it here, Lee?
I don't know, but, you know, I heard Collinsworth on that broadcast. We know And we have a good idea who Collinsworth is speaking to. He over and over said he couldn't understand why Bowles doesn't unleash the offense. Now that tells me he's got his hand in the offense and he's got him lassoed, which it sure looks that way just by the evidence that we see. By the way, Ivor, you're talking about Evans being frustrated. I don't know if you noticed this or not, and I missed it Sunday night, but I went through all the quotes a little deeper last night. And playoff Lenny was saying there's frustration boiling up in the locker room at halftime. Guys were frustrated, guys were upset, and they were mouthing off. He wasn't specific about who that was or why they were shooting off their mouths, but he said there was frustrations being let out.
It sounds to me like this frustration's over the scheme. It's got to be about the scheme, and the defensive players certainly weren't up in arms, Steve. They were playing good defense. Arizona wasn't doing anything.
Ira, somebody might have said, hey, can we score a friggin' touchdown? You know,
I don't know. I think you're absolutely right. The defense is playing well, especially with all the injuries. But if I'm a defensive player, I'm like, can you get a first down? Enough of these three and outs. Would you score a touchdown? We're carrying your blankety blanks, you know?
You're right. And Lee, Steve and I have been on top of this, I think, more than anybody else in local media or national media. Steve, and I'm proud that we've been on this for about a month, maybe even longer. To put it very simply, they cannot score in the opening half. They just don't do it, Steve. They don't score touchdowns. They don't score points. The first half is just terrible, week in and week out. Now, you telling me if you don't get two first half takeaways from your defense, you can't score any points? That you have to have it? You have to have a short field? Steve, the first half production, I got to think, if it's not the worst, it's next to last in the league. And I don't really understand why, Steve. The first half, just terrible.
Steve, why don't you fill Ira in on that amazing statistic that you got from CBS HQ.
Okay, and this goes to your deep sage wisdom there, Ira, and your many years of football. The Buccaneers' drop-off from last year to this year in total points is the greatest single-season drop-off since the 1976 Bills. And there's no way to spin around that. I mean, that's just as bad as it gets. You know, and it was a different era of football back then. And keep in mind, Joe Ferguson, I looked it up, the quarterback of the Bills, he got a back injury halfway through the season, so they at least had an excuse. They lost their quarterback. What's the Bucs' excuse?
You're right, Steve. That is a tremendous statistical nugget. Tremendous. And Lee, let's also mention 76 was the inaugural year for the expansion Buccaneers.
Ira, I've got to add, it was also your 40th birthday party. Congratulations.
Lee, I mean, that's almost a half century of football. It counts every franchise that has ever come and gone and changed cities. It doesn't matter. It counts everything. You're going to blame this all on Antonio Brown? Not being around? Now, come on. And Lee, I'm not trying to downplay the impact of Gronkowski. Great player. First ballot Hall of Famer. I'll vote for him. But Lee, that's not a good enough answer. That's not a good enough excuse.
Well,
you got
I can't even use the reworked offensive line as an excuse. And this is why. Ira, you watch the NFL. Steve watches the NFL. I watch the NFL. There are teams out there that are successful that don't have as good, yes, Bucs fans, because you're always whining about the offensive line because you can't think of anything else. There are teams out there that are successful that don't have as good of an offensive line as the Bucs because their freaking coaches adjust. I mean, how many teams come out and drink it? Oh, my God, the offensive line's horrible. I've got to resign. Let's tank. No, they adjust. The freaking Bengals last year had the worst offensive line in the NFL. They played in the Super Bowl. They adjust. Teams adjust. Leftwich has had how many months now to freaking adjust? So give me a break on all this whining about Ellie Murphy if I retired. Oh, my God, the humanity. The Hindenburg is blown up. Enough of this. Adjust or get the hell out of the way.
And, Steve, I'm so glad you brought up the first offensive snap for the Buccaneers going downfield, getting the Ira Kaufman interference flag. Steve. I'll call it like a, you know, it should have my name on it, Steve. I've been yakking about it all damn year. Steve, here's another example of how this dink and dunk offense is going nowhere. There's a pretty good chance, Steve. Decent chance. I know this sounds crazy. Chris Godwin can catch 100 balls. 100 balls. And that would set a personal high. I can't quite remember off the top of my head how many Buck players have ever caught 100 balls. But here's my point, Steve, and we watched it all year. How many of those Godwin catches, Steve, to be fair, to be honest, are consequential, are impact, good share of them move the sticks. But they're mostly 8-yard quick screens. Lee, we've seen them all year.
Mm-hmm.
The quick 6-yarder to Godwin. He's not great at breaking tackles because he's not 100%, and that doesn't help him. Lee, 100 catches, but how many can we really remember made an impact? Very, very few.
I know.
Sage, a holiday season, unfortunately, disasters don't care that it's holiday season, that it's a time for fun and parties and stuff. So mold, fire damage, water, floods, broken pipes. So you need to know who to call when you have a problem. That's Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7, your home or business, they're going to come out and respond and give you a free assessment of what's happening in your property. And that's critical. So you know how to proceed, because you have to proceed if you're going to get insurance coverage. You can't blow it off. They will help you with that too. Owner Josh Martin has 14 years experience as an insurance adjuster, and he brings all of that to Florida's Elite Restoration, passes on that knowledge to customers, helps them, guides them, and that's so critical because the insurance companies work for themselves. They don't work for you, but Florida's Elite Restoration works for you, and they're giving $500 off to customers who, when they call, mention Ira Kaufman, Joe Bucks fan. And maybe that's $500 that you use toward your deductible, or just $500 off their restoration services. But the assessment is free. So 24/7, you have that problem, you go to floridaseliterestoration.com, floridaseliterestoration.com. Check it out today, and then you're ready. floridaseliterestoration.com. Hey, Ira, in that game, going back to what you said, well, Bowles was asked about Rashad White. They sort of didn't use him after the initial series. I believe he started, and he did start, and he sort of disappeared. I don't know why it's even a big deal, honestly, because Fournette, outside of short yardage, which, speaking of adjusting, the Bucs haven't figured out short yardage all year, which to me is disgusting, frankly. But outside of short yardage, Fournette had a hell of a game. He really did. He played well. So, you know, and he's had maybe 3 out of his last 4 games have been good games. He was overshadowed in Germany, but he still played well there. So I don't have a problem with it, but it is a weird comment from Bowles. I think he should have just said, which he did, but it wasn't the only thing he said. I thought he should have just stuck with, hey, Fournette was kind of the hot hand, and that's why we have 2 running backs. But it was a weird comment from Bowles, the way it came out, that, oh, we wanted to get him more work. We'll work on that, or I don't know. It was strange. The offense is just so disjointed. Is there anything that you liked, though, Ira? What did you like out of this game, aside from the another incredible Brady finish? What did you like?
I like Russell Gage. He got himself open. Brady missed him a couple of times. That connection looks a little bit better. Speaking of strange comments, Mr. D, what the heck is Fournette talking about a Lisfranc injury? Lee, you can't play with a Lisfranc injury. I mean, come on.
And then deletes the tweet right away, which is a standard move for an NFL player.
You know, a classic tweet gone wrong, Steve, because it put the organization in a bad light. You know, people say, if he does have a Lisfranc, what are you doing having him out there?
That's not only Florio.
Steve, not only is he playing, but as you pointed out, he's playing pretty well. He had a good game. He made a beautiful run off a catch late in the game, Steve. It was an important play. He dodged a couple of people, got a big gainer out of it. It was more than a 20-yard catch, and he's not famous for doing that, especially this year. And it's not the first time, Steve. Fournette is very up on cognizant of social media. He doesn't like people questioning him at all. And then he came up with this Lisfranc thing. I think he overstated the case, Lee. I don't think you can play or play worth a damn with an injury to that magnitude. Look at Levante David and what happened at the end of last season. So I'm glad he deleted it. I think it was an overreaction, Lee.
it's to the point that sometimes I think these guys are throwing that out there just to stir the pot, and then they delete it, knowing that that adds more intrigue and suspense. Like, why'd you delete it? You know, I just think they do this sometimes just to stir the pot and watch the reaction and get a laugh out of it. I really do, because they're not that dumb. They know what they're doing. When they know that whatever they put on social media is going to be immediately reacted to. People are going to have screenshots and everything. I just think sometimes I think it's like a practical joke they pull.
Hold on, guys. Hold on. We're at this point in the podcast where I must make something that's so obvious, but I got to say it. And Lee, you've heard me before. I'll say it till the cows come home. If it's fourth and inches, if it's third and inches, tuck the ball in, Tommy boy, and keep it. And don't give it to anybody that's standing 5 yards behind you where J.J. Watt's got a chance to knife in and blow the play up. Don't do it. Brady, you're good at it. Don't worry about getting hurt. Get low, crawl under, and make the freaking short yardage. Lee, this team stinks on short yardage.
Did you catch Collinsworth say early in the fourth quarter how the Bucs finally quit running at J.J. Watt?
Yes.
A high school coach knows better than that.
Give Watt credit, Lee. At his age, and I think he just announced that his next game is going to be his last, I believe.
Yeah, he did this morning, yeah.
And there's another first ballot Hall of Famer, and somebody say, wait a minute. No, there's no wait a minute. If you're a three-time defensive player of the year, you're a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
That's a no-brainer. And he played great. He abused Wirfs, the right guard, on occasion. They had him line up over Hainsey. Bravo to J.J. Watt. He's going out as a champion. Maybe his team isn't, but he is. Steve, they stink on short yardage. This offensive line, it just doesn't have much physicality to it, Steve. I'm looking at Hainsey in the middle. He's not getting any push, Steve. I'm not trying to pick on Hainsey. He's been okay this year, thrust into that job that he didn't expect to be starting. Second day of training camp, the guy goes down. But there's very little push from Robert Hainsey in a short yardage situation. That's just the way it is, Steve.
Hey, the more I think about that, what Collinsworth said early in the fourth quarter, the Bucs are he marveled that the Bucs finally realized that they shouldn't run at J.J. Watt. Wouldn't you think when you're breaking the huddle, the very first thing you look for, where's J.J. Watt?
Yes.
And
Brady could make those kind of adjustments too, Lee.
Yeah, unless he's ordered not to. But that just says it all about the disarray this offense is in.
Hey, Ira, a quick temperature taking from you, Ira. Not the kind that people used to do back in the 1960s.
Oh, bend over. Oh boy.
Hey, Sage, what percentage chance, as you see it right now, that Todd Bowles returns as head coach next season?
87%.
Byron Leftwich, percentage chance he returns?
4%.
Percentage chance Tom Brady is the Buccaneers' starting quarterback next year?
25.
All right, Ira, any expounding there? Anything you think we need to know?
Steve, I was thinking, you know, Brady's not under contract, and if he wants to play, Lee, which I think indications are that he does want to play. I think things have changed in the last 6 months in that regard, and the divorce of being a big part of it. And I've said, you know, is he going to have really a lot of suitors? I don't know that the Niners would take a chance, you know, would want the guy. They got quarterbacks. Look, they could win the Super Bowl, Lee. I mean, you never know. Yeah. 49ers could win it. So I was talking to my brother when I picked him up at the airport, and we were driving back. And Steve, we came up with a team, like sort of a mystery team. And I think it makes a little sense.
The Jets.
Brady.
The Jets.
The Jets. The Jets. The
really?
Jets. And finishing his career, Lee, in the Big Apple, in the same division as Belichick, good young defense. Lee, they got this running back, Breece Hall. He was really good. He was having a big season. Rookie.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt. And the Jets haven't been really the same since. They need a quarterback. This guy, Wilson, he's done. They hate him. Absolutely hate him. The Giants hate him. And as Barry says, Steve, when they turn on you in Jersey or New York, you're done. when the fans turn on you. You're done. And I think this guy's done. I don't care that he's the second pick in the draft. Brady to the Jets. Steve, it's got a little ring to it.
I don't think it would happen, but it is a good fit for him. But I think he'll have his share of fits, Ira. Absolutely. But it depends how it finishes. You know, and Miami could emerge now as a fit again. I don't think that relates.
Maybe. Yeah. Yep. Tua's imploding. Yeah, he is.
I think it's more than a maybe, especially now with Tua with the concussion issue arising again. It creates more of an urgency for them, more of an unknown. And depending on how the season finishes, I don't think the relationship with Stephen Ross has gone bad there. So I don't know. I was hoping Miami would be out of the running a month ago, but now it seems like they're back potentially in if he wants to play again. But how could the Glazers screw this up, Ira? If he wants to play, you know they want him. They have the freedom to court him, unlike other teams that would be tampering. I mean, they can sit down with Brady and his agent and lay out all the things that they can do for him under the table, on the side, with other companies, all the stuff that they can do, including picking a coach for him, that whatever he wants from that front, coordinator, whatever it is. How do they screw this up?
Steve, your point is a subtle one, but it's a good one. In other words, Lee, first of all, it's a really bad look if Brady plays again and he leaves the Bucks. That's a bad look. Bad look for the Glazers. Yeah. Bad look for his teammates. Bad look for Jason Light. Bad look for Todd Bowles if he's coming back. Literally, Lee, and you know, I don't think it's an overstatement. You give the guy what he wants. I think that's what the Glazers are going to try to do, Lee, because you've made the point many times. Look what Brady brings to your franchise. Look what he brings, besides all the greatness on the field. The ultimate winner, no question. But, Lee, in terms of money, putting money in the Glazer pockets, you're right, Lee, primetime games. If Kyle Trask is under center, they're going to get they're going to get the one obligatory primetime game. Am I wrong, Lee?
On Amazon on Thursday nights, and Al Michaels will grumble for 3 hours.
So, Steve, all the ancillary things that a Tom Brady brings, all of it, that the Glazers have come to cherish. Now, they ain't cherishing 7 and 8, I can tell you that. But I think there'll be a case made that it's not really Brady's fault, and he's the reason that they've managed to win 7 games. And Lee, you could make that argument too, right? This could be a 5 and 10 team if Brady wasn't on it. You could say that, Lee.
Probably worse. I agree. Yeah.
Could the Glazers screw this up? Lee, if you give it your best shot and Brady still says, I'm moving on, I want to be closer to my kids, so I'm going to Miami, I want to try New York. Lee, there comes a point when you can't do any more than you can do. I don't think they'll give him minority ownership. I don't know if he wants that in Tampa. But they will do everything they can to retain Brady because the alternative is tough to stomach.
Now, Ira, you and I were speaking with a local businessman last week. I'm not going to mention his name. And he gave us some information that isn't public knowledge. And one of the things he said was that the Glazers greased the wheel for Brady to get his TD12 products into the English Kickball League, whatever they call it, with Manchester United.
Premier League.
Evidently, that's very lucrative for Brady. So that's one reason he likes the Glazers. You know, there's reports out there that he's grown fond of the Glazer family. Well, I'd grow fond, too, if they helped me out in my business interest overseas. Sure, I would. And how much of a factor that is, who knows. But that's something to keep in mind.
No question about it. Steve, he can't have anything against the Glazers, can he, Steve? Can he?
No, I'm just trying to make the point, Ira, that since they don't have to cover anything up, they don't have to hide anything, and you would think Brady would at least be a little hypersensitive to the tampering aspect of all this after he just got busted and Sean Payton got busted. The Glazers can just be open with him and just really just dive into this thing full force and court him and treat him like a free agent for a month and try to stick money in his pocket a million ways outside of football. I just think if he wants to play and he's thinking about the Bucks, unless he's completely written them off, you have to hang it on the Glazers if they fail to get this done, because they should be the favorites. And I got to say this, Ira, don't you think Brady realizes, hey, I didn't play so well this year, and maybe I've taken a half a step back, quarter step back, whatever. But it certainly helps Brady and his brand and his persona to be in the NFC South, where life isn't very difficult. And next year, who does the NFC South play? they play the AFC South, which sucks. So Brady has to look at that schedule and know that, you know what? If my skills erode a little bit, I'm going to look a lot better in the NFC South.
If it was anybody else, Steve, I would say that's probably not high on their priority list in thinking about their offseason plans. But the three of us know Brady. He leaves no stone unturned. The guy is super intelligent, super organized, thinks of everything, and he's in a lousy division. And, Lee, there's no reason to think that the Panthers and the Saints and the Falcons are all of a sudden going to be 12-game winners next season. They're all looking for quarterbacks, Lee. And this is not it's not a tremendous quarterback draft. A couple intriguing prospects. But this team's got a long way to go, Lee. A long way to go. So to Steve's point, if it's talking about being competitive and your chance to be in the playoffs in 2023, the Bucs are in prime position. They got a pretty good roster. It's not as good a roster as the Super Bowl roster. It's not. There's some big missing pieces. Heck, Lee, we don't know that Gronkowski won't come back next year. We don't know that. The Bucs have a lot to sell. Ultimately, Lee, will it be enough? That's up to Brady.
I would think one selling point would be Ryan Jensen is returning. You got a Pro Bowl center returning.
Pro Bowl center. You would think he'll make a full recovery from an injury from last August. You're right. He should be ready for training camp. And he sets the tone up front, Lee. That's a big presence that's been missing. Big.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
All right, Ira, well, you set the tone of this podcast, and you tell everybody to shop at BillCurryFord.com. They're open all week. Sean Sullivan, GM, he'll be there all week. Hit him up personally, like we said at the beginning of the podcast. Demand your Ira Kaufman discount, but more important, look at all the great offers at BillCurryFord.com. This is the best time to buy a vehicle. So we're going to talk, of course, more later in the week about the Panthers game, this huge, huge, huge game coming up that's going to define the organization in a lot of ways. A lot of ways, big time. But I got a couple more questions for you, Ira, and everyone should remember Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Check it out. That's your first stop when you have a disaster in your home. Learn about them today, Florida's EliteRestoration.com. And Big Storm Beer, load up for the holidays. It's in Publix. It's at liquor stores. It's at package stores. It's at their tap rooms, BigStormBrewery.com. But just looking back at the game, Ira, I just wanted to mention on the defensive side of the ball how thin they are. We try and Shoyinka and Anthony Nelson played every single snap of that game. Every single snap. That doesn't happen very much at edge rusher. And they hung in there pretty well. And overtime. These guys have gotten a lot of experience. Try and Shoyinka got the whole game 2 weeks ago as well. What are you looking for next from the Bucs defense? And do you think some of this makeshift lineups that they've had out there is going to help in the long run?
Well, I'm certainly going to be looking at the trenches in terms of Sunday's matchup against Carolina. It was nice to see Lee Sean Murphy Bunting have a good game, which he did.
Yeah.
It's nice to see Antoine Winfield patrolling the back corners, which he did. But it's going to be won or lost up front. We'll talk more about it. To Steve's point about the health, Lee, it's concerning. Other teams seem to be getting a little healthier at this time of year, some teams. And that's really a big factor going into the postseason. And I think the Bucs keep taking hits. I'm looking at Wirfs. He certainly wasn't 100%. I don't think I can count on him being 100%. He's going to play, Lee. He's going to play. If he can,
can
possibly stand up, he's going to play in the biggest game of the year.
Oh, yeah. It's not like he got pulled and didn't finish, you know?
I got a lot of faith in this defense, Lee. I think they're playing very well. Now, Connor's success on the ground, it troubles me a little bit going into the Carolina game. By the way, Lee, and you're not going to want to hear it, and this is a perfect way to wrap this thing up to get DeKemper mad, Steve, because when DeKemper loses his temper, Lee, I want to salute again my guy, Mike Tomlin. I do, Lee. I do.
I'm not anti-Mike Tomlin.
Well,
you're thinking of Russo.
Yeah, maybe I'm thinking of the Mad Dog, but Lee, yeah. I want to make this point. The next loss, you know, ensures a losing season for the Steelers, and Tomlin hasn't had one. So what does he do? Steve, 2 weeks ago, Carolina was playing very well. They were rolling. And Carolina looked at the Bucs as being very vulnerable. Now, wait a minute. We might be able to steal this division from the Bucs. And Lee, Pittsburgh goes into Charlotte. I believe the game was in Charlotte. And mops him up. Steve kills him. Carolina looked terrible. And then Pittsburgh follows up with another win. And I'm not sure they won't beat Baltimore this weekend. So, Steve, all I'm saying is, when it comes to Mike Tomlin, you can say this, you can say that. He hasn't been back to a Super Bowl in a long time. There's been more than a few years, just like this one, when things could have fallen apart and you end up 6-11 or 5-12. And that doesn't happen to Mike Tomlin's Pittsburgh Steelers. That's impressive to me, guys. Impressive.
Ira, what's the timeline for Rondé Barber?
They're going to announce the final 15. Those are the guys that get talked about on the Zoom call. And they're going to announce it January 3rd. And I don't think there's a lot of suspense about Rondé Barber not making the final 15. We'll all be stunned if he doesn't, because he's made it the last 2 years. So let's assume he does. The Zoom call, I believe, will be on a Tuesday, 2 weeks later. 48 people on the Zoom call, 15 candidates, 15 speeches, and the two first-year eligibles that we have to look at are Revis and Joe Thomas, and I think the odds are both are getting in, even though it's their first year. Lead at least 13 guys scrambling for three spots. I still think Rondé Barber has a very good chance to make it.
And what'd you hammer, what did you destroy on Christmas Day, Ira? What was the big item going down your esophagus there?
Stuffed artichokes, Steve. Stuffed artichokes, of all things.
Here, you were expecting smoked turkeys.
You know what? I'm not that big a fan of smoked turkey, Lee. I'm not that big a fan. But they had everything going. And, Steve, I got to say this. I think it was the night before Christmas, and I walked out the front door or something to take the garbage out, put it out front. And there's a package outside, and it's got my name on it from Amazon. And I open it up, and my wife says, "What is it?" And it's a tin of Italian cookies, you know, expensive cookies. And there's no name on the damn box, and there's no note in the box. So I don't know who it's from. Steve, it's like getting a damn text from somebody that's not on your favorites list, and they don't leave their name. And you get a text and you say, who the hell sent me this text? That's very frustrating. The first guy I thought of, and I'm not making this up, Steve, was Lee DeKemper. And I called him, right, Lee? I go, "Lee, did you send me a package?" And Lee said, "No, I did not, Ira. No, I did
not." Well, your question was specifically, did you send me a special delivery?
That's right.
And I replied, so Steve, no. It was standard Amazon delivery, so it was not special.
You're next on my list, Isbitz. Was that you that sent me those cookies?
I think it was Rick Stroud.
Ira, you must not have heard my response.
Hold on, I'm still laughing at that.
Ira, you must not have heard my response.
You said it was Amazon, so it wasn't special delivery.
Exactly. Absolutely. So that's why I couldn't say it was special.
So it was you?
Yeah.
Well, they were delicious, Lee. Absolutely delicious.
I didn't realize that went over your head, Ira. Okay, I got Lee's reference.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Lee, you have to be a special deliverer. Like, no, because it wasn't. I wasn't lying.
I should know you better, Lee. But you were the first guy I thought of. We thank you. And I still got a couple of packages of them left. There are all kinds of varieties. You could have thrown a bottle of Kolsch in there, DeKemper, just to wash it down. Could have. Lee, you did a hell of a job. Thanks, and I'm going to thank you in person Sunday at the stadium.
All right, Ira. All right. We'll see you later in the week.